Hey, this is Scott and Brian from Weezer, and you're listening to the first episode of our On the Pulse podcast series.
On the Pulse.
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 Scott, I'd like to know, what are your influences? What inspired you to play the bass?
Well, that's a good question, because I played trumpet when I was a kid, and I was trying different instruments. I took a month's worth of guitar lessons and absolutely could not get into it at all. And then we were driving around in the car with my dad, and there was like a Police song on. I think it was Walking in the Moon. Hmm. And it was the do-do-do, right? And I was like, Dad, what is that that's doing that? Do-do-do. And he's like, what? And I was like, do-do-do. He's like, it's a bass. So then, and then I knew from that moment, it's like, all right, I'm going to take bass lessons. I was like, forget the guitar. You know, I went to, and then I told my mom, and of course, after she bought me a guitar and a trumpet, she was like, all right, so we're going to take that acoustic guitar that I bought you, take the strings off it, string four big bass strings on it, and if you take 2 months of lessons with that, then I'll buy you a real bass. So, after that, I went head on into, I was like, the first record I ever played with was like Judas Priest. Not that they're like a huge influence on me, but I could actually play along with Unleashed in the East, which, and then it clicked. It's like, wow, I can put on a record that I like and play bass along with it. So then I started shredding like Rush records and Police records and U2 records. And I couldn't learn Beatles yet at that time, but I just started learning as many songs as I possibly could.
It's funny that you said Judas Priest, because when I was 14, I auditioned for a band as a singer. And the audition, I had to sing Breaking the Law.
Really?
Yeah. And the band was called Sadie Mae Glutz. And I said, "Who? Sadie Mae what?" And he's like, "Oh, it's one of the Manson family." I'm like, how cool. You know, this is the band for me. And these guys were out of high school dropouts and, you know, kind of people your mom warns you against and, you know, perfect. So I auditioned for the band, and I got the gig, and we never ended up playing past that audition. I don't know why. It's like these guys lived at the far end of town. I think I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do it, and I wanted to, at that moment, write my own songs and learn guitar.
That's...
I played piano as a kid. And
but your first gig, you were a singer?
I was a singer,
that's
yeah.
rad.
Yeah.
So I'll take this opportunity to tell you that I really enjoy your singing. I think you're a rad singer.
I think you're a rad singer, too.
Well, thanks, Brian.
I was a little more fortunate with my mentor as a guitar teacher. His name was Ben Bolt, and he was a master student of Segovia and could play anything. Mm. And I'm from Tennessee, and almost everybody there is a good guitar player. Mm. So there's a lot of people I had, you know, mostly older people I looked up to who were great guitar players, and I feel very fortunate to kind of have been thrown in that scene a little bit.
That's cool. Our bus driver, Charlie, said, he's like, Scott, are you nervous going to Nashville? And I'm like, why would he be nervous? He's like, well, that's all the best pickers are in Nashville. And I'm like, I never really thought about it, but like for country guys, that's like the equivalent of like playing in New York City or something like that. So you being from Tennessee
yeah.
and being a picker yourself, were you intimidated at all going and playing
a little
there?
Bit? Yeah, yeah. I went to Grun's Guitar and I bought a guitar that day.
What'd you get?
I got a Baldwin, which is like Baldwin are most famous for pianos.
Right.
But in the 1960s, I like kind of quirky 60s guitars and. They made guitars with these pickups by this guy named, I don't know his first name, his last name is Burns, and they're very sought after pickups, and
right.
I know that Willie Nelson buys these guitars just for the pickups, and it was called a split sound, and it had five different sounds, one being, was called Wild Dog, treble, jazz, I think it might have four sounds, and split sound, and they're all very unique and very cool sounds that I could definitely use at some point. It has its own tremolo bar. I think it was a score. I got this guitar. Anyway, when I went in there, there was a kid that was 10 years old, chubby 10-year-old with a bandana in his back pocket, totally playing bluegrass like an, you know.
Like a bluegrass prodigy kind of vibe?
Yeah, like a bluegrass prodigy. And
I
like,
love that.
I'm not even going to pick up one of these guitars. Are you kidding me?
That's a drag when you get all intimidated by like a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
that's
so yeah, there's definitely some intimidation there. And but I felt kind of a closeness to that music, and it's sort of in my blood to be able to do that.
Right. Yeah, you play with your fingers sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of how I started learning. I'm learning some classical finger style technique when I started at 15, and sort of has morphed into more of a country blues style. That's the kind of stuff I like to play on my own at home.
I'm going to switch gears, Brian, and ask you what you listened to today on your way here.
I actually listened to, for the first time in a long time, the Beatles.
Wow. What record?
Revolver.
Whose choice?
And I don't know, I can't tell you why. Actually, I picked up Blood on the Tracks to take with me, and the CD was missing out of the case. So B was really close to D in my CD rack. And
do you have your CDs alphabetically organized at home?
Sort of, yeah. Not like, you know, Dylan albums have their own section and I don't alphabetize them and just throw them together, or you know, don't do them by year or anything crazy that.
But yeah, I'm the same way. I got like my Beatles and Stones and Pink Floyd and like Neil Young all have their own top section, and then it starts going like 90s metal. Like I got a lot of that, which is whack, right? But then I got like, you know, more like alternative later 90s section, and then I got like old crusty rock section. It's kind of in genres, I guess.
Yeah.
What's coming up for us next is heading to Japan and then Europe for this kind of like flight around the world tour.
Yeah.
And
wow.
How are you feeling about that?
Well, I'm glad we all decided to go on first class tickets, now to tell you the truth. I'm a little bit nervous about all the jet lag, so I decided I'm going to fly 2 days before you guys get to Japan. And
oh, cool.
There's nothing, no matter what I've tried, we've been in Japan like 10 times now, and no matter what I've tried to do, the next day you feel like I've been hit by a truck. There's nothing that you can do. You can't sleep through the night. And they have it scheduled there where that next day we would be playing Summer Sonic Festival. So I always told myself, next time I go, I'm going to go early and get those days out of the way.
That's smart.
And that's what I'm doing.
And then we head to Europe.
Also, Japan is the best shopping and food and anywhere I've ever been. The date is going to be April 10th, I think.
April? No.
I'm sorry, August 10th.
Yeah, we fly on August 10th, and I think the shows are like the 12th and the 13th, the Summer Sonic Festivals. And we got one Tokyo Zep show right after that. That might be on the 13th, actually, or 14th. And then we head to Europe for some extremely fun festivals there, of which I know none of the dates, but they're on our website on Weezer.com. So we have our webmaster, Carl, keeps everybody super up to date on the shows and when tickets go on sale. And
isn't that Weezer.com?
That is Weezer.com, exactly. So you guys go and check that out. It'll all be there. I actually look at Weezer.com to see when.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing when people say, hey, you're playing Seattle and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I am.
Dude, but how great is it that like my parents look at that more than they call me up and say, then what are you guys going
to
do?
I think that's great.
That is awesome, right?
Yeah.
So then once we get done with Japan and Europe, we come home, and then we gear up for the fall, which is going to be, talk about
how
intense.
Do you feel about going to Europe?
You know what? I'm stoked. Okay. But then we got to gear up for the fall tour with the Foo Fighters, which is going to be super intense, and there's a couple of breaks, but we're not going to take breaks. We're going to do things like...
We're going to Mexico City.
Yeah, play a show in Mexico City.
In Brazil.
And then we're going to go and do the Curitiba Festival in Brazil, which is Weezer's first time in Brazil. Then we're going to fly back and do the San Diego show. It's going to be super intense. Brian, how are you feeling about playing with the Foo Fighters?
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it should be a lot of fun. Those guys are normal dudes, you know?
Right on. Yeah, that'll be fun for us. When do we kick that off?
I don't know.
September 8th.
ask my mom.
I'm going to answer my own question. September 8th, I think, is our first Foo Fighters show in Atlanta. And, yeah, we got like 6 weeks of touring with them. So hopefully we'll hit all the major markets and meet all our fun fans and fun towns.